So I'm going to begin by saying I'm Claire Coyne. I am interviewing Margaret Hazard. It is the 15th of October 2014, and we are in Margaret's flat in the Golden Lane estate. So Margaret, if I could ask you just to confirm your full name.
My full name is Margaret Hazard.
And you were born
In 1927.
and whereabouts was that?
That was in Ilford. It was a suburb of Essex at that point, not connected with London. No. There was a demarcation line that was London that side, Ilford, Essex that way.
So you went to school, primary and secondary school in Essex, did you?
Well, secondary school was during the war, so it was moving around quite a lot.
And oh yes, so on that note, your parents, during their sort of adult and what would be working lives, how did they occupy their time?
My father was working. He came up to the city every day. Mother didn't work.
And what did
She
your father do in the city?
was a bank clerk. Yeah.
Okay, lovely. Well, that just gives us a tiny bit of background, which is
Right.
fantastic. So now I'm just going to plunge in. We'll shoot ahead to the Temple of Mithras excavation site in 54. And if you could just start by telling me your main impression of the site.
Well, as far as I can remember, because it's quite a long time ago, there's still the results of the bombings that had taken place around that area, and there's a lot of clearing going on, and the workmen were digging up, and nobody took a lot of notice because that was sort of happening everywhere. But then I went round to stay with some friends for a cup of tea, and during the day news had come, presumably from the workmen who were doing the excavation, and my friend picked up the news that something to do with Mithras, the Temple of Mithras. So the decision was, well, let's go and see what there is to see. There wasn't a lot. As far as I can recall, it was just a mound of what looked like soil in a shape, oblong shape, rectangular shape as it were, and on just a bit of bombed out land. And that's all there was to see. Few workmen around, but there was no roping off, nothing for health and safety. And nobody else knew about it, but I think it must have broken on the news that night, because by the next day it was cordoned off, and the queues just grew and grew and grew for people who wanted to come round and have a look at it. And I thought, I've seen it already, which was rather fun. Yeah. And after that, I didn't go round much more. I thought, I've seen it, I've done that. And I thought, these people who patiently waited. I seem to remember it wasn't a bad time of year, it wasn't winter, so it was a light evenings, so they were just patiently waiting.
So you mentioned that the day you went, you'd been having a cup of tea with your friends,
Yeah.
and then you'd got news of it, so you thought you'd go and have a little look.
Yes, yeah.
Where did your friends live?
They lived in King William Street, which is just around the corner to there. They were caretakers in an office block, office building. And Fred used, like the men do, used to wander about and get chatting. And I guess he'd seen something happening. And knowing Fred, he would have gone up and asked them, what you're doing, what you're finding, and came back. And then when I got there, they told me. So we went, before we had our tea, we went down and had a look.
So it
Yeah.
sounds like when you say you got the news, it was word of mouth.
Yeah, yes, oh yes. Straight from those who had done the digging to Fred and relayed it to us. Yeah. It was exciting though, because it went straight down and had a look. just nobody around. It's lovely. Wander around. Not that there was a lot to look at.
Did you chat to anybody on the site? Can you remember?
I don't remember that. Don't remember. I shouldn't think so. I wouldn't have known enough, really, to ask them much about it. Because I didn't, at that stage, I didn't know much about Mithras.
Did you know much about Roman history in London, or...?
Yes, I know quite a bit, because there's bits of the old Roman walls still around. And, of course, lots of places. There's the amphitheatre of the Guildhall, which probably wasn't open at that stage, but, I mean, that's a bit more. And, of course, Leadenhall Market is built on a Roman site. And there are lots of bits of the wall around from various stages of being built and built over. Yeah,
I was wondering how much you knew about, or how much of an interest you had in archaeology and history at that time in 1954.
Not a great deal, but it certainly quickened my interest. And you sort of, you know, begin, well, because you're close to it, you could almost touch it. And of course, I've seen things in museums, and you hear about digs, because they've been doing a lot of digging in the city. And they've dug up all sorts of things. You know, they, oh, I was walking down that road just yesterday, or, you know, a couple of weeks ago. You're walking on history, every inch of the place. You can't move for it.
So that sounds like what it was about seeing the excavation site that sparked your interest. It made it more real, the history you were walking on?
Well, yes. When you see it actually being dug up, and you think, what else am I walking on? Which is, you know, the imagination can run riot. Is it a house or a shop or a street? Because East Cheapside, of course, was where all the shops were. And all the roads down there are named after the trades that were there. Friday Street was where they had the fish, and Bread Street. Yeah. When I first moved in, we didn't have many shops around here. And there was one little supermarket down Bread Street. And I used to get quite a thrill to walk down this road, down into the city proper, and go to Bread Street and do my everyday shopping. You know, that was history coming, meeting face to face.
Absolutely, yeah. It sounds lovely. I can understand exactly what you're saying. And where were you living at the time when you went to visit the site in 1954?
Well, I was living in Finsbury Park then, yes. But I came up to work in the Marylebone area. But I used to come to these friends because we'd meet up, we'd have tea, and then we'd go off to a meeting at the church. That's why I was there for tea, yeah.
So could you work out what day of the week it was then if you...
Well, I think it might have been either a Monday or a Thursday.
Because that was the day you would go to church afterwards, was
it? Those were things we had things on, yeah.
And can you remember anything about the weather or what you were wearing?
Well, I seem to think it might have been sort of summery, because it was certainly light in the evening, because I remember all these people, you know, afterwards queuing up. And then there was still light. So I think it must have been late spring, early summer. But I really can't remember.
It was actually the other end of the summer, if you see what I mean. So
it was
very early autumn.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It was in the second half of September.
Oh, was it? Right.
But probably from what you're describing, it would have been around the 17th or 16th of September, so it would have still been fairly light.
Yes, yeah, they hadn't changed the clocks by then.
Yeah.
So exactly. That adds up then, yeah. Oh,
yeah. So you mentioned you were lucky enough to go when nobody knew about it, really, and then it was the next day that the crowd started. And that's one of the things we were interested in about the numbers of people that turned out and patiently queued, like you described, to see the site. What do you think it was about that discovery at that point that sparked the public imagination in the way it did?
Well, it was the earlier excavations and producing things, and it was right on the doorstep. Wasn't something that happened far away in an area perhaps they didn't know? This was where people were coming up. It was probably business people who walked past it every day, and, you know, well, fancy that being on our doorstep or under our feet, as it were. So I think, and there hadn't been a lot once the war was over and things quietened down, and it was still a fairly stringent time for living with restrictions, rationing still. And this was, well, this is something a bit different, isn't it? Sparks up life a bit. Fancy that.
And did you go and see the temple once it was moved?
I don't think I did. Don't know why. I wish I had now.
Well, it's going to be resited when the new building goes up, so you can go and see it then, and it'll be back in its original position. So that'd be fabulous.
In Bucklesbury.
Yeah. What was Bucklesbury? Yeah. It'll be the new Bucklesbury. Yeah.
Nice.
And did you see any of the artifacts or the heads that they dug up?
No. No, it didn't grab me any more than just saying, oh, look at that, yeah. And I didn't do any more about it.
But you said it did spark your interest in history. Yeah, how did you explore that throughout your life? Did you watch TV programmes or...?
Well, every time there's any digging going on, for instance, down at the end of St Martin le Grand, they dug up an old graveyard. And we used to go down there, because we had to be out of our church building, wasn't it? So we had to go down Luckett Hill. So we used to go down. And this open area where the graveyard was, and you could see the skeletons lying around in full view.
Golly, when was that?
Well, now we're from 72 to 78. We were out. We had to use that church. So it would be somewhere in that time scale. Yeah. That's the old Greyfriars Church, I think. Yeah, in the city.
So you didn't need to travel anywhere to experience history then? Surrounding you?
Yeah. I mean, Charterhouse has got plague pits. You can't see them, but you know it's there. And inside, they'd had some very nasty incidents over the years with killings and burials in the grounds there. I mean, once you get into it, you can't move a step before you've stumbling across something else, if only somebody could tell you what you're treading on. And there was a big dig in Milk Street recently, or not so long ago, a lot going on. And the trouble is, the developers only give you a very short time to do your excavation. You've discovered something. Okay, you've got 3 weeks to do it, and then we're going to start building. Which makes life very difficult if you want to dig up anything and discover, you know, bits of interesting things.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I quite agree. And it's interesting hearing you describe the digs that you've seen, because I know you've been in this flat for about 43 years, right by the Barbican. And before that, were you living in the city after you moved from Finsbury Park?
I went to Highbury then, until I moved down to the city. Yep. Nothing much up there. And I wouldn't go and live in the suburbs for anything. Oh, they're so uninteresting.
You're a city girl.
Yeah, so I expect the suburbs have got bits of history as well. But there's so much here, and you don't have to walk too far, and you can find out about it. It's great. I love it. I love the city.
I can tell, it's lovely.
It's funny because a lot of my family way back, they all lived around here. My father went to what is now the school, Hugh Middleton School, is that right? Oh, I can't think what the name it is. But I mean, they live just up by the City University building now. So he was round here when they went to school with his sisters. So I feel I've come home. At the corner of Old Street, there used to be a lying-in hospital. A lot of them first saw daylight, had been born there. And the other side of the family, they were round here. They lived up Pentonville Road. They got married at St. James Clerkenwell. And somebody else lived up White Lion Street, just up by the Angel. So I've got it. I've always felt at home here ever since I moved up. Strange, more than I ever did in the suburbs in Ilford.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
Yeah, there's something about this way. Nobody else in the family has got it. None of them want to come back.
But it's in your blood, like literally almost in
your
blood.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And so you must have seen lots of changes in the area.
Oh, my word, yes.
What have you got any comments about how the area's changed?
Well, it's been a pity to see some of the older buildings go because they were much more attractive to look at. And as for Chiswell Street, that was absolutely empty. So they put buildings up and people watched them lying empty, not just for months, for years. Nobody can come there. Then they filled up. Then there was a move locating out of London. So they all went out, the buildings went. New people moved in. And then technology began to increase. And after a bit, you couldn't keep on doing extensions to your electricity bits, a bit of extra flex here. So the buildings had to come down and be rebuilt to accommodate all these new technical developments. So I've seen them come up, go down, come up, go down, three times. And I mean, there's new buildings going up all round. I saw the Barbican going up. None of that was built when I came in, watched it going up. And they're all new ones round here. It's fascinating, but they're a funny old lot. I mean, will people want to really go and look at, admire them? Why don't they decorate with a little bit of plasterwork? Makes such a difference. I mean, I went on the top of a bus on Sunday. I was going down to the tower to see the poppies. And in the top of the bus, you can see the upper bits of the building. I thought, the trouble they went to up to make the top of the building look a bit more attractive. Now it's just whoosh, glass, or glass and concrete. Oh, no, unattractive. At least it is to me.
Feels colder, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
I can see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm.
I didn't ask you, Margaret, at the beginning, what you did in your working life.
Oh, I was a secretarial waller. Yeah. In various places. Yeah. Bashed a typewriter. I was just getting onto an electric typewriter. Scared the light out. Because you'd only got to look at it and the key moved. But I coped with that just about. But that was as far as I've got. And I thought, thank you. I can live without all that. I mean, people say, why don't you get a computer? You can do all sorts of things. I don't want to do those things. Don't get me on that.
I won't get you started. Let me just check my prompt sheet, see if there's anything else I was going to ask you. You don't know anybody else that went to see the site, do you?
No, the only, the two people, my friends, I'm sorry, they're both dead now. Because they were even older than I am.
Although they wouldn't have seemed old.
No, I don't know anybody else who went.
Is it something you've ever talked to your family about, your nieces, your great-nieces?
I don't feel they've got much interest in the city. I mean, those sort of, well, there's only Matthew. My brother worked up here for a bit until the office moved. Matthew works up here. But the others, they prefer to keep away. Don't want them missing.
So if you were going to try and sort of, I don't know, grab their attention about it or sort of express why it's meaningful for you, not just the site, but history in general, by the sounds of it, for you is something that really sparks your interest. What would you say to them? Why do you feel history is meaningful and important?
Well, in the sense, history, like the world, evolves and moves on. And you should really learn a bit from history, carry on the good bits, scrap the bits that are a bit not worth having. But I think you can learn a lot. The way people used to live much more in community than they do now, simply because they couldn't travel any farther. And they worked on the spot or pretty close to it. Sometimes from their own houses, like the Huguenot people from France who did spinning in their own homes, which is why they had extra large windows put in, so there was light. And then, presumably, as things developed a bit further afield, because London is really only built up of a series of villages. They're a bit isolated, and then as things get built, they gradually join up. And they can then move, and if I don't want to stay working right on my doorstep, I'll go and see if they've got a better job in the next village. And that's how it grows and grows. Then transport gets evolved. You've got your buses coming in, your trams, eventually the trains. And now people fly in to do business. It's amazing, isn't it? At one time, it was as far as your feet would take you. And that was the limit.
Yeah, that's right. Putting it like that, as far as your feet would take you, I think that's a lovely way to sum it up, really. Express it.
I mean, I know I'm sort of buried in history, because my church, the one I go to, that's been there since 1778 it was opened, which isn't very old. And I was looking at the All Hallows, but that's been there 1300 years. So I thought, oh, keep quiet, you're quite a youngster at your church. But I do quite a bit. And I also work at Bart's Hospital, 1123, that's been there. So that's a bit more history, yeah.
And which is your church?
Wesley's Chapel in City Road. John Wesley's. He was the first minister there. And he lived in the house that's there. And he died there. Lived there for the last 12 and a half years of his life. And died. Yeah. So it's all history. Not a very modern girl.
You mentioned doing some work at Bart's. Do you do that now?
Still doing a bit, yes. I work in the breast cancer unit. And way back a bit, we used to have a large group of patients who used to come together just for supporting each other. Well, some of those have discontinued, but I still have a small group, and I meet them once a month, usually find a speaker, or else we've got other things to talk about. But, oh yes, the old hospital. I mean, all these hospitals are sort of getting reborn again with the new developments, yeah. Not in keeping with the old buildings, but still.
So just one final question then about the Temple of Mithras. You said at the time you didn't really know much about Mithras.
No.
Did you go on to find anything out about Mithras?
I think I did. It was much more sort of topical news, really. But that was a long time ago. I really can't remember anything more about it.
I'm not going to test you, don't worry.
Right. No, it would be a failed exam.
Well, we definitely don't want that. That wouldn't be called for. Yeah. Is there anything else, Margaret, you'd like to add before we finish?
I think the Museum of London is fantastic. I'm always popping down there and seeing, because there's always new things to see. I mean, they've moved, the Lord Mayor's coach has been moved around. It used to be down Whitbread's, down Chiswell Street. And if you lived in the city, one of your burghs, you could pop in and see it and take your friends and visitors in to see it any time. Then it went to the Guildhall. No, not the Guildhall, they went to your museum. They've moved it again. And they've now put some horses by it. And that makes us vast difference. I mean, really, look as though it's just going off. That is fantastic. And I was down there and they got the cauldron from the Olympics. That was fantastic to see that in working order and explaining a bit how it worked. Can't say I remember about it, but it was fantastic to see it close by. But there's always something to see. There's always good photographs to see. Oh, I could move down there easily.
Sounds like you're going to move your bed in there. Take your pillow.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, there's so much to see, and it's so well set out. And it's always changing. There's always something new to bring out, and you display it very, very well. And I've always found your staff very helpful, too.
Oh, well, that's great to hear.
I'll tell you what I have got. I've got the very first catalogue that they produced when they opened it. Do you want to have a look at it?
Yeah, that would be lovely. Yeah, how wonderful.
I took it down at one time, showed them. They were quite fascinated.
I bet they were.
Different size to what you have now, I expect.
Oh, isn't it gorgeous? What a lovely design. With these...
Several little sheets that you pulled out. That was when it opened first. Yeah.
76.
Was getting historical, isn't it?
It is.
I expect they've got some of those copies. Mithras? How do you do?
Wow. So I'm pulling out the sheets on Roman London.
Yeah. There he is again.
Yeah.
I forgot to look in there and see if there's
right on the cover of the catalogue and also on the information
sheet.
Well,
there you are.
That's beautiful. What a lovely thing to have in your possession. It's gorgeous, isn't it? I really like the design.
It's good, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, it's pretty simple to what you produce now. If you have a book that sort of gives you a lot of details of what to go and look for. But it's very succinct.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah,
I haven't got pages and pages to plough through before you get to what you want.
It's gorgeous. It's brilliant condition as well. Well, golly, how lovely.
Well, I dare say you got access to those. You're bound to have those in your archive somewhere. Yeah.
But it's nice to be reminded that Mithras was on the front cover of the very first catalogue when the Museum of London opened.
Yes, I don't know how many of those will still be around.
No, I don't know. Well, that's lovely. Thank you for showing me. Gorgeous.
As I say, they were quite intrigued when I showed them on the information desk.
I bet, yeah. Lovely.
Couldn't believe it.
Mm.
Yes, well, then.
Thank you so much. Are we done? I think we're probably done, unless there's anything else. Let me just see.
Never thought I'd last as long as this.
Oh, well, you see. I think we're probably done. That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, that wasn't so bad, was it? Mind you, I don't want